title, and I love that piece, Norm. It was lovely. It'll be all right. And I must say, you're looking good in that tan suit, almost as good as Obama when he wore his tan suit. I love it. Looks good on you. Thank you, thank you. And yes, and let's welcome back for our wonderful band, Rudy and Roderick, for being back and having taken some. Thank you, thank you. And we also want to welcome, I know our hospitality team is back this Sunday, so please make sure you go downstairs. I'm sure they have some goodies cooked up for you, so just go downstairs and fellowship and partake of the hospitality by our wonderful team members. I saw them moving some things in this morning. And also want to give a shout out and thank Tracy. She was out for 3 months with some surgery that she had, so she's back. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's good to be back. And welcome to all of you who are at home or wherever you are. But if you're online, we want to welcome you and greet you this morning. And thank you for tuning in, for showing up and being with us, lending your energy, your light, and your love. I truly am glad to be back as well. It's good to be here, mostly free of pain. I had to have some dental surgery. And this is like the second or third time that I've had to have this. And it's a result of some of the wonderful healing medications that I'm taking. And so this is a side effect. And so it's a process. And it's okay. It's a process. But I thought, well, gee, I guess Sprit wanted me to make sure I sit down and shut my mouth for a while. So I get the hint, Spirit, and I was able to do that. And continue to pray for the next phases and continued healing in that regard. But I also want to take a moment, thank you, to thank Larry Davis for stepping up. I don't know if he's here, but there he is. Okay, my brother. Thank you for stepping up. You know, I just always feel so blessed because there's so many talented people in this congregation that, you know, if I have to step away, I always feel that there's somebody that can come and bring us a good message and fellowship with us. So I thank you for being a willing spirit. So I had started a series the week before last, before I took off, and it was a new series titled Spiritual Laws for Inner Well-Being. We had just finished our series on Spiritual Laws for Conscious Manifestors. And I thought, well, what is it that will enable us to continue to manifest and to be on point, to be light bearers, to put forth? And Spirit said, well, we have to make sure that we are able to experience an inner state of well-being. Yes. You know, because it's hard to manifest all this love and light and prosperity if inwardly you're just not up to the task. And so I said, all right, we'll talk about spiritual laws for inner well-being, because whether we are aware of it or not, and if you're not aware of it, then you truly are asleep. But, you know, whether we really like it or not, we are living in interesting times. Not only interesting times, but what challenging times. You remember the phrase that when someone would say if they wanted to maybe wish ill will, they say, may you live in interesting times. I don't know whose fault this is, but somebody has caused us to say that we are living in interesting times. And because of that, it is really important, it's of the utmost importance that we know how to practice self-care, that we know how to take care of ourselves in this entire process. Not only that, but also to check in on each other to see how you're doing. You're hanging in there? Are you doing well? Are you good? I belong to a group of, we call ourselves the WIS sisters, and two of my WIS sisters are here this morning, but we play Bid WIS every Friday online now. We used to do it in person once a month, and then the pandemic happened, and we reverted, of course, to doing it online. And we decided we needed to do it because some people were living alone, and we needed to do it once a week. But before we played cards, we did a check-in. How you doing? Because some people, you know, the pandemic was an interesting, it feels like a memory, a long distance memory. But while we were in the midst of it, it was a frightening experience for a lot of people. And if you lived alone, you may not see anybody for, because we weren't going outside. We were having food delivered. And, you know, I remember me washing off my food in the garage before I brought it into the house and took everything out of the cardboard boxes and put, you know, it was just a crazy time. But we would do a check-in just to see, well, how are you doing? Anything you need? Are you connected? So we could feel what connected still to the world and to each other as a part of our sense of well-being, and especially if you were isolated and by yourself. And so we're living in these times where we need to make sure that we are checking in with ourselves, checking in with our family and neighbors, because this is the opportunity for us to sort of what I'm calling the oxygen mask syndrome. You know, they say put the oxygen mask on yourself first, right? So that you can better able, and should the case arise where we need to support our neighbors, our friends, our family, or whatever, because we're going to need each other in these interesting times. And so we want to make sure that we're putting on the oxygen mask so that we're taking in everything that we need so that we can feel solid and grounded and connected and well within our being, that it could be well with our souls. And so I started the first part of the first law that I wanted to go over in this series was talking about freedom, spiritual laws for inner well-being. And I was saying that true freedom is a state of mind. It is a state of mind. And that whenever we are talking about what is taking place in our inner world, and if we really feel that we have a true sense of freedom, then there should be a level of inner peace that we're feeling. There should be a level of, you know, a sense of well-being, that I'm connected, I'm still here. Things are, as the song said, that everything is still all right, it's still good. It's well with my soul. I talked about soul being the spirit, soul, and body, or our spirit, mind, and body. Are we well in all of those areas? You know, are we still functioning? Is there peace inwardly? Peace in my mind, peace in my body, peace in my soul, my affairs. And so we started with freedom because if it is truly a state of mind, and I, you know, I quoted Viktor Frankl for Man's Search for Meaning, because nobody can really make you feel free except what? You yourself. Right? And so it's an inward thing. But if it truly is, true freedom is really a state of mind, then it's vital that we keep our minds free. If freedom is a state of mind, it is vital that we keep our minds what? Free. Keep our minds free of any limiting thoughts or feelings that would sort of trap us or have us feeling that we are bound and constricted and confined in any sense of the word. That even spiritually, you know, we could be trapped mentally and psychologically and emotionally stuck or even spiritually bound, so that some of these things are showing up in our physical bodies. Because when we're, you know, we're trapped or whatever, we are threefold beings, spirit, soul, and body. So sometimes if the mind ain't right, it's going to show up where? In the body. And sometimes if, you know, if your emotions aren't right, it might show up in the mind. Your thinking might be askewed. So making sure that all of the whole of who we are is really functioning and moving with a sense of coherence, a sense of harmony, a sense of connectedness. And we have to check in, you know, check in with yourself. So I said, okay, I'm thinking I'm fine, but, you know, stress is like a, what do they say? Stress is a silent activity. You might not even know that you're under stress. So it's like, check in with yourself. How am I doing? Is it well with my soul? Do I have a sense of well-being? Am I at peace? You know, spirit, soul, and body. And so if not, we need to use the tools that are available to us to make sure that we are functioning as whole beings, that there is harmony, alignment, coherence with all of who we are. And we're vibrating at that level. So one of the most powerful tools that we can use for keeping our inner domain or our inner world or our mental and emotional states, keeping them clear, keeping them clean, is through the power of forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness is a spiritual power. Most of the times, most people sort of treat it as if it's just being polite, that it's a politeness that we should experience and express, or that it's some kind of spiritual etiquette that those of us who are, you know, highly evolved, that we should do for others. That if we're spiritually advanced, we should forgive others. And don't get me wrong, because, you know, I, like everybody, I want to be forgiven. I know that there's probably somebody sitting in here right now that I might have inadvertently hurt, or I missed something, or, you know, you thought I didn't speak to you, or my mind was some, I don't know, you know, I've done something, I know, to somebody. Because that's the way, you know, life is, right? And I know if that's the case, I would want you to forgive me. I want you to forgive me. I would love you to offer that for me. And I want to be able to offer that to you, to others. But what I'm talking about is on a different level. As using forgiveness as a tool, but using it as a tool to keep your mind free and clear. It's not necessarily something, because there's so many levels to forgiveness, and I can't cover them all. But most of the time, we think it's something I do for you. I do for others. I forgive you. You know, No. As a spiritual power, it is a tool to keep your mind free and clear, to keep your mind open, and so that you can function as an open vessel or as a channel through which the energy and the blessings and the essence and the goodness of God can flow not only to you, but what? Through you. So forgiveness then is part of this process that you do for yourself. It's nice to do it for others, but the true practice is for you to keep your mind and heart clear and open so that all of the things you desire, because we talked about being conscious manifestors, right? But it has to come through you as a light bearer, as a speaker. But if you're all clogged up with stuff, it's hard for you to be in that flow of being a channel through which God can move, through which goodness can be expressed, through which light can shine forth. So we've got to work on forgiveness as a tool to keep our own minds free and clear so that this wonderful energy that is the divine, that is God, that is the blessings we seek and the manifestations we want to have, is to keep that stuff flowing to us. And forgiveness keeps us in that flow because it keeps the heart and mind open, clear, right? Unforgiveness clogs up the channel. Unforgiveness clogs up your receptors. You know, like I always say, we are energy beings, right? And we're always, as we learned as being a conscious manifester, we're always putting out energy and energy in the signals, and we're broadcasting to the universe our desires, our wants, whatever. We're putting it out, but it has to come back. But if we are so clogged up, we're putting things out, but our channels are not clear and clean. So we have static, and we get some hit and miss. Some things come through and some things don't. And unforgiveness clogs up your energy field and your energy channel so that you're holding on to persons and experiences and hurts and feelings and all those things that you perceive have harmed you in some way, and you're holding on to that. When the truth of the matter is, friends, whatever has occurred, whatever the slight was, the offense was, the activity was, whatever, it has already happened. It has already happened. It has passed. And what happens is we forget that it happened, and so we are the ones that keep it alive within our own hearts and minds. We keep returning to it. We keep repeating it. We keep feeling it. We keep experiencing it. And so true forgiveness then really is about letting go, letting it go. And it is a process, okay? And I do know that trauma, true trauma, if any of us have experienced trauma, that trauma lives in what? It still lives in the body and in the soul. But that doesn't mean because the trauma that we've experienced just by living life doesn't mean that we still can't engage in a healing process. It doesn't mean because we have trauma that the cells remember the trauma that we still can't open ourselves up enough to begin to release, to let go. So it's a process. It's an ongoing process that we might have to do over and over and over. If you remember when Peter, the disciple Peter, went to Jesus and he asked Jesus, he said, "Well, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? 7 times? Jesus said, "I tell you this, not 7 times, but what? 70 times 7. Meaning that this not going to be this one-time deal. You're going to have to constantly be in the process of forgiveness. And I thought 70 times 7, and that's just metaphorical because it just means that it's a whole lot of forgiving we're going to have to be doing, right? And so this is really important. Even Martin Luther King Jr. said this, he said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude." So it's not just that you're forgiving from an act that someone has done to you, towards you, or through you, or by. It is a constant what? Attitude. Meaning we want to develop the consciousness of forgiveness. And why? Because there is always going to be something to be forgiven. If you're upright and here on the planet and on the earth, guess what? You're going to have something to forgive. Something, someone, some experience, doesn't matter. There's always going to be something to forgive, something to release, something to let go of. And so if that's the case, whether it's something that you thought was going to show up one way and it didn't show up, you expected it and it didn't happen, maybe it was a disappointment that came, or maybe you are suffering because something didn't go as you planned and there's inner suffering, or maybe someone has offended your sensibilities. You know, well, I'm just offended. Come on, we've all been that way, right? We've all felt slighted. We've all felt offended by whatever. And we felt justified that, what? My goodness, you know. So, but if you're not going to move through this life experience without having something to release, something to forgive, something to let go of. So if this is now a process and a constant attitude, then we need to really hone in on how can I process this thing called forgiveness? How can it really serve me? Because it's a tool that I need to use, because I might have to use it at any given moment or time, right? And so this is what we want to work with. When you are holding on to whether the emotions or thoughts or feelings that are not serving you well, that is clogging up your energy field. It's hard for you to even pray or whatever, because even to pray, you're putting forth, right? Your prayer should be a positive statement, an intention of your desire. You're putting it out there. But if there is static in your energy field because you're holding on to negative energy, then your prayers are going to be what? Ineffective. And so the more we're holding on to unforgiving things, then the more our energy system is clogged. is filled with static. And either that happens or we get caught in what I call an endless loop. An endless loop of repeat, resent, repeat, resent, repeat, resent. I resent this, I repeat it again, I resent it, whatever. I'm repeating it. When I say repeat, it means I'm doing what? Where am I repeating it? In my mind. I'm telling the story again, one more time. If it's nobody else, I'm still telling it to myself. This is why I resent that. This is why I don't like that. This is what happened to me. This is why I am the way I am. This is what we'll repeat all the time. And it's an endless loop that we get caught up with. And when that happens, we get stuck. We're clogging up our energetic field, and we're sort of stuck. And when we're stuck, we don't grow, because our growth is now stilted and stilted by, you know, or even altered by our repeating these wonderful things that we think are somehow freeing us, when actually it's keeping us bound to that energy, bound to that situation, bound to that circumstance, and keeping us from our true potential for who we're to be and what can happen, you know? So it's sort of like, you can't, like, love and fear can't occupy the same space. Love and unforgiveness can't occupy the same space. Your energy field is going to carry a certain vibration. And your inner well-being really flows. It stems from how much you can constantly be in the flow. And when I say be in the flow, that is learning that things are going to come and things are going to do what? Go. Things come and things go. Situations come and situations go. But if a situation comes that I don't like, instead of me letting it go, I get into, let me hold it closer. Let me, you know, say why I don't like it. And you know. No, things come and things go. This is one of the wonderful things I like about the Buddhist tradition, is that they really hone in on the theory of impermanence. They say that everything in life is impermanent, you know, and things come, everything, this is changing, everything changes. Nothing is stagnant, nothing stays the same. So we should get into the flow. Things come, it was an experience, yes. Let me have that experience, and so I can let it go. Thoughts come, thoughts go. Feelings come, we should let feelings go. Charles Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, says this about forgiveness, and I like this. He says, forgiveness really means the giving up of something. And I like that because it's clear and it's simple. There are many layers to forgiveness, but I like this definition. Forgiveness is really the giving up of something. So I like that. It's clear, because if I'm stuck in my thoughts or stuck in my feelings, I can ask myself, if I notice I'm stuck, I can ask myself, well, what is it that I need to give up? If I'm stuck, it must mean that I am unable, unwilling, or whatever to give up something, right? It could be giving up the erroneous thoughts that I'm holding about the situation, that this is never going to change, or this is hopeless, or this whatever. Maybe I need to give up those erroneous thoughts, or maybe I need to give up my resentful thoughts that, you know, that keep coming in about myself or about another person. Is that what I need to give up? Maybe I need to give up my judgments. Can I give up my judgments about myself or about other people? You know, can I give up this thought that somebody got to pay? Somebody going to pay. Because we've had those thoughts. Come on. I'm not the only one who's had those thoughts. Right? Or that somebody should get what's coming to them. Somebody got to get. Because I've had that recently about a certain somebody. That I can't wait till this somebody gets what's coming to them. That somehow that they're going to experience all the harm and the that they've created and done to the masses. I want to see them pay for what they're doing to this nation. All of them, not just the one somebody, because there's a whole group, they're all in, there's a cahoots. And there's a part of me that wants that, I want restitution, I want them to pay. But what does the scripture say? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine. And it's so easy to figure out, well, I've been harmed. I need some kind of justification. Like something should happen, right? Some restitution. But what can you give up? This is the thing about holding someone or something or whatever, you know, onto it until somehow or another you think it's going to free you up. So as I put down here, can I give up any false and limiting thoughts about myself and any binding thoughts that I'm holding about another? Can I trust, and I want you, can I trust that I no longer need to be tied to the person or the thing, or tied to their behavior, or tied to their actions, or tied to their energy? Because this is the thing, when you are unwilling to forgive a situation, a person, a circumstance, you are tied energetically to that thing. And so energetically, you want to be over here, free, footloose and fancy free, and receiving all of God's blessings, but you're tied to the energy over here by their actions and behavior and their energy field. And so what we've done is we've given away our power, our ability to what? To circumstances, to situations, to people. And we're tied to it. Which is why, somebody got to pay. We're tied. You're stuck right there. And then I put, can I detach from their energy? Can their energy field? Can I detach from their energy field, from the thoughts that I'm holding about the situation or about the individual, right? And can I trust this process that the universe always is dealing with every individual on an individual basis? Meaning that, can I detach enough to know that that situation or that person is going to respond to the universal laws of existence? That these universal laws of existence are operating, whether I like it or not, and knowing that their souls are going to be held accountable to their own vibration. You follow what I'm saying? So even if I have deemed that what they're doing is unjust, it's wrong or whatever, I don't have to be the one that enacts any kind of retribution on them, because the vibration of their souls, their own existence, is going to draw to them what? Their lessons, their experience. And when we understand this, then we can spend less time on them and then figuring out what is it that I need to do. And how do I want to be about? Do I want to hold this energy? And if I do, what kind of energy do I want to hold so that I can be a conscious manifester? So that I can be a channel that's open and available for the goodness of God to flow through us. So, can I take my energy energetically off of this situation? Now, I want to be clear. I hope you know that I'm talking right now about the inner plane and the inner world that we exist in, right? That I'm talking about our consciousness and our emotions and the things that shackle us inwardly in our minds and in our inner world. But I want to be clear that if by any circumstances that you are in a bad way physically, right, as a result of someone else's behavior or actions towards you, whether it is mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, by all means, get the heck out of Dodge, okay? I'm not saying you can sit there saying, well, I just detached from the negative energy and take another blow. No, because I have to be clear, that's one thing. I'm not talking about that. You should always be able to move yourself to a place of immediate safety. So we're not talking about that. I'm talking about breaking free from your own inward prisons that we have, our own inner stuck places, to be even the place that might keep you in a situation that is abusive. A lot of times, people find themselves in abusive relationships because they can't break free mentally. So, but if it's causing physical, if you're being physically harmed or even psychologically or emotionally harmed at the hands of another, you take action for preservation of who? self. But once that happens, you now have to work on self. Get yourself freed up now, inwardly. Get yourself freed up inwardly. So that's what I'm talking about. And I want us to recognize that we can practice what I call practice experiencing the experience, feeling the experience. If you were hurt, okay, acknowledge it, feel it. If you were disappointed, acknowledge it, feel it. If you, whatever it is, I'm not saying we're not going to do a spiritual mindset where it's just toxic positivity, you know, but, oh, no, this is great. No. Feel it, acknowledge it. But I'm saying don't get stuck in it. And if it is stuck in our trauma-based energy in the body, we can still work to what? Free ourselves, to free the cells. So we do our work, so we feel it, and then we've got to get practice of letting things go, letting it go, letting it go. Get the lesson and the blessing and move on. Let me get the lesson and the blessing and let me move on. Get the lesson and the blessing and let me keep myself in the flow of things, right? Because if you find that you're in this state of resentment or resenting, that's what resentment is. You keep feeling sentiment. Sentiment is the feeling nature. You keep feeling the whole experience over and over until you resent it, right? Or you're resending it to yourself. Whatever it is, the hurt, the disappointment. And if you find that you're in that state, and you may be experiencing anger or judgments or not acceptance, it's okay. But if those emotions and feelings are overwhelming you and keeping you stuck in the loop, it's because you haven't found yet what it is you need to give up. If I'm angry, it's okay that I have anger, as long as I'm dealing with it in a healthy way. But if I have anger today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day about the same situation, I haven't given up something. What is it that I need to give up about this anger? Why am I angry? What can I let go of? What needs to be given up? Not forgiven, but to give up. What do I need to give up in this situation? Charles Fillmore says this. He says, the necessity for forgiveness. And he says this about that. He says, now this is why forgiveness is necessary. It's very short. He says, our first work in any demonstration is to contact God, which means, you know, whenever we're trying, remember, as being a conscious manifester, we talked about demonstrating the truth, having it show up, right? Our first work in any demonstration is to contact God. God is also the good. So if we want to demonstrate, tune into the good, tune into God. Contact that. Get on the vibratory level of the good it is that you're seeking, right? And then he says, therefore, we must forgive all people their transgressions. So I thought, well, those two things, why did he put those together? Our first work, in one sentence, our first work in any demonstration is to contact God, the good, right? Therefore, we must forgive all people their transgressions. And I'm thinking, it's because when I can't forgive you your transgressions, I am what? Energetically, I'm taking it all in again. I'm contacting God, but I'm holding this vibration of limitation and negativity over here. He says, if you want to make a demonstration spiritually, you're going to have to forgive everybody. Which is why when Jesus was on the cross, what are one of the words that he said? Because he was trying to make one of the greatest demonstrations ever. He was trying to do what? Raise himself, right, from the dead to a spiritual body, full power, full glory. And he couldn't do it if he was holding on to what? Unforgiveness. Because energetically, it's going to hold you back. So if you're going to be praying to God and asking for things, which is another scripture that says, whatever you have, when you pray, before you go to the altar, it says, leave your gifts where? At the altar, and then go and make peace and forgiveness with your brother or your sister. Amen. Don't come to God with, oh, I'm so holy, here's the altar, and I'm praying, and I got all this negative energy that I'm holding on to. They said, leave your gift at the altar, And first, go be reconciled with your brother or your sister. Then when you come to the altar, you're what? Clean, clear. You're a vessel. Now you can say, ooh, fill me. Come on, God. Do your thing. And there's nothing to impede the flow and the energy and the work of spirit in your life and in your affairs. And so sometimes we don't make that connection. We just separate. You know, I'm just asking God for things, but yet there's no room. There's no room in my heart. There's no room in my mind, no room in my consciousness to receive the things because I'm all filled up with my resentment, my hurt, or whatever it is. So it's a flow. So he said this is the necessity of forgiveness. Our first work in any demonstration is to contact God. Therefore, we must forgive all people their transgressions. He says, through the divine law of forgiveness, we cleanse our minds so that God can forgive us. Now, when he writes this so that God can forgive us, I don't want us to fall back into an old anthropomorphic sense of God. That God is a what? That's an Old Testament sense of God is a what? A judging God. God is keeping track. Okay, Sylvia, I got your, you got 11 things that you did wrong, and I'm checking them all off. No. It's so that God can forgive us. If forgiveness is the giving up of something, what is it that God is giving up towards us? Love. Peace, harmony, all the fruit of the Spirit is what God is giving us. So when we, so it says, through the divine law of forgiveness, we cleanse our minds so that God can forgive us. God can give to us, give up the things of God, the goodness of God, and we can receive it. Follow? Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Sometimes I get it all and I go, oh, because I meditate. When I saw that, I said, now why does, I don't want people to think, oh, God has to forgive me and God's making an account of all of my sins and whatever. The sins that we do and what we say sins in unity is just missing the mark, making a mistake. And who here has not made a mistake? I want you to raise your hand. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has made mistakes. Again, if you're here on the planet and you're walking about, you have not only made mistakes, but there are going to be things that need to be forgiven, that you've got to give some truth for. So this is our practice. This is what we're looking for. And this is what I wrote as a quote for my own self. I said, forgiveness is a perpetual state of bringing forth the good by releasing anything that is less than good. It's a perpetual state of bringing forth good by releasing anything and everything that is less than good, meaning less than God. And since there's always something to forgive, to let go of, we want to learn how to practice radical forgiveness, which I say radical forgiveness is forgiving everything for everybody for everything. That's radical forgiveness. I forgive everybody for everything. So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And as I read certain things, I want you to feel them and affirm that within your own heart and mind. Because we're going to practice radical forgiveness. I forgive everyone and everything. Just affirm that to yourself. I forgive everyone and everything. I am in the flow of perpetual goodness. I'm in the flow of perpetual goodness. Nothing stands in the way of my divine blessings, for I am a clear channel. Nothing and no one stands in the way of my divine blessings, for I am a clear channel. I practice the spiritual law of forgiveness, and it is well with my soul. I practice the spiritual law of forgiveness, and it is well with my soul. I let go and I let God. I let go and I let God. I am free. I am unlimited. I am free. I am unlimited. And so just allow yourself to feel a sense of gratitude. And take a deep breath. Even our breathing is taking it in and letting it go. That's what keeps us alive. We breathe life in, and we let the breath go. The perpetual process of life itself. I breathe life in, and I let it go. Once more, take a deep breath. Let go. And so it is. So, beloved ones, find what it is that you can give up in your consciousness. What can you give up? What can you give up in your emotional sense of state of being? What is crying out to be free, to be released, to be let go? Because truly, you are as free and or as bound as you desire to be. It truly, the choice is yours. So I'm choosing freedom, and I hope that you will as well. Be well and be blessed. Thank you. Namaste. Oh, blessings. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.